Can everyone hear me all right? Can you see me all right? You're going to be very, very sorry that you can hear and see me in just a few moments. No, so thankful that we are able to be here all the way from Mississippi. It's a long way from Lucedale, Mississippi and Leakesville, Mississippi to right here in Tillamook, Oregon. But boy, has it been worth the journey. We've gotten here, and I love how when you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and you meet other believers, though you've never laid eyes on them, there is this kindred spirit of the Heavenly Father between you. I'm reminded of a fact that there are only two words in all of world languages, two words, that no matter what language you speak, the words are the same. They are amen and hallelujah. Now, I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers talking about these two Christians that were on a cruise ship, and they were walking around the cruise ship doing their Bible study, and they were from different parts of the world and spoke different languages. But as they're walking around the ship, their eyes fell upon each other, and they saw that each had their Bible in their hand. And they tried to communicate and couldn't because they weren't speaking the same language. And finally, they just gave up, and one of them said, hallelujah, and the other one said, amen, and they just embraced right there on the ship. That's how we feel about our dear brothers and sisters here in Oregon. After 25 years, you are aware of this. Boy, you have a wonderful pastor. You've got a wonderful pastor's wife. Did you notice that was louder than the one for the pastor? I resemble that remark. You know, my wife, Brenda, her and my daughter are on the way this morning to Memphis, Tennessee to do a mission trip with our church from Shady Grove. So mom and daughter are headed to Memphis, and me and Micah, we're here. But boy, you have a wonderful pastor and a wonderful pastor's wife here with you all. Such a blessing of God. I have been at Shady Grove Baptist Church for 9 years now, working on 10. And I would say probably somewhere around 3 or 4 of those years, I have been his brother's pastor, Terry Smith. Some of you may know Terry or heard of Terry. So I have been Terry's pastor for several years now. And I just want to say that all of the Smith brothers and family that I have ever encountered, especially his mom, wonderful, wonderful people. So it is a joy to be here with you all. I hope that in the course of our time together today, number one, to magnify the name of Jesus. Number two, to encourage you, some brothers and sisters in Christ. Number three, hopefully maybe someone who may not be saved will be saved. And number four, us just have a good time in the Father's house. You might have to endure some Mississippi humor, but I think that we will... We're used to it. Very good. Well, I tell you what, if you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Acts, chapter 23. I remember the day that I realized Christianity had changed. Now, here's what I mean by that. We were at the Mississippi Baptist Convention, and all of a sudden, the speaker stood up and said, all right, open up your Bibles or turn them on, whichever one you have to do. And I realized something had changed. We're no longer bringing them just in written form, but also in printed form. So pull out your Bibles, turn them on, open them up, whatever you need to do, to Acts 23. I normally, when I preach, do what's called expository preaching, where I start out with one text and kind of stay with it all the way through the whole sermon time. But I want to do something a little differently today. And I don't want to preach just one text. I want to preach to you one event. And the event is Paul's journey to Rome. He was sent by God, as we'll see in just a moment, to Rome to be a witness. And there's roughly five chapters of stuff of what it took for Paul to get to Rome. And boy, in those five chapters, there were some tumultuous times for Paul. Sometimes in the life of a church, it feels like that church is in the middle of those five chapters. You see, that Rome would be the place where God is leading you, the place that He's going to take you and one day use you when you get there. Brother Brand, I even thought about this property next door. That might be a Rome of sorts for Life Change Church. That one day you'll get there, but boy, the journey may be somewhat tough sometimes, whatever your Rome is. And so here in our Christian life and experience, sometimes we feel like in our mission of doing what God wants us to do, we're in the middle of those five chapters. Here's what happens. Paul has been arrested because he was testifying to the Jews, and it got to be a big uproar. The Romans got involved, and Paul appeals to Caesar. So now the Roman government is taking Paul to Rome. Let me just say this, by the way. It did not cost Paul a thing to go to Rome. God sent him to Rome, and then he paid the bill. God was using the Roman officials to make sure his witness and his servant got to Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, when God gives you the direction, He also pays the bill. Here in Acts 23, verse 11. Oh, this is a beautiful passage. But the following night, here's Paul in prison. But the following night, the Lord stood by him. You see it there? The Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." Here's the Lord sending Paul. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I pray that you will help me with the unction of the Holy Spirit to proclaim with power, conviction, love, zeal, and most of all, the authority of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. I pray that your people would be encouraged. I pray that there would be lost people saved. I pray that there would be saved people fanned into flame and encouraged to service. And Father, may we all leave here today saying in the words of the psalmist, "It has been great to be in the house of our Lord." Thank you, Jesus. For through the blood we come, in Jesus' name. May they see you and not Bruce. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, we have been dreaming about this week for quite some time. We have been so excited. Over the past week, we've been sending some text messages and some devotional thoughts amongst our group, and we have just been excited to come to Tillamook, Oregon. We've been excited about coming to serve the Lord, excited to meet some brothers and sisters in Christ, and excited to eat some of that cheese and ice cream. And you can tell I can eat a lot of it. But over the years, I've talked to Brad a couple of times. His brother Nauti passed away, and I was pastor at Shady Grove during that time, and I talked to Brad a little then, and I talked to Brad when he came down. He preached in my church, and I've been talking with him over the phone. And over the years, his brother Terry has just told me about the church here. Brother Brad's told me a little bit about the church here. And I remember over the years, I've just told Brother Brad, "Brother Brad, I would love to come preach at Life Change Church." And he said, "Well, you know, I've been hearing a little bit about you from my brother Terry, but I just don't think you're quite ready." He said, "You're getting good, but I don't think you're quite there yet." Well, a few years later, I talked to Brad again. I said, "Brad, I'd do just about anything to get to come preach at Life Change Church." And he said, well, Terry's been keeping me up to date, and you're getting better, but you're still just not quite there. And that third time, just a couple of months ago, I called him. I said, Brother Brad, I would do just about anything to come up there and preach. I'll even come for free. He said, you're ready now. No, that didn't happen like that. But I have, and we have been looking with great excitement for this week. And we are honored to serve our Lord and to be with you. I just want to share some thoughts with you today about this journey, this calling, this thing that the Lord places in the lives of churches and individuals of going to Rome. As a matter of fact, as I thought about this message, I thought about the great song that we sing in our churches. I'm sure you sing it here. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. That's exactly what happened with Paul. Paul was being sent by God to, of all places, Rome. This was not an easy place that Paul was going. This was not a very deeply spiritual towards God place that he was going. This was a very paganistic, tough society, hard place to be, especially for a Jew, and someone is trying to preach the gospel. And God sent him there. I can tell you with great assurance, if Tillamook, Oregon is anything like Loosedale, Mississippi, or Leakesville, Mississippi, where God has sent us and planted us, sometimes is extremely hard to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are working on very hard ground. But can I tell you, the Lord is still sending. As I was thinking about Oregon and praying about what to share with you all, I found some interesting things about Oregon. Oregon, the Oregon Trail is the longest of the overland routes in the West expansion of the United States. And I know it ends, as we say in Mississippi, just over yonder. All right. I thought it was interesting that the Columbia River Gorge is considered by many to be the best place in the world for windsurfing. It's very beautiful. We've been to Multnomah Falls already. By the way, how many of you know what Multnomah means? I'm from Mississippi, and I know what Multnomah means. It is a Chinook Indian name that means downriver. You know how I know? I did what any good American young man would do. I Googled it. No, I asked someone there in the gift store, and that's what they told me. The Tillamook Rock Lighthouse, built in 1880, is currently used as a site of the final resting place of 467,000 cremated individuals. Now, how many of you knew you had a lighthouse like that right over there? That's pretty interesting. And this is probably the most interesting thing that I found. Tillamook is home to Oregon's largest cheese factory. And all God's children said, Amen. Can I share with you another fact about Tillamook? Tillamook is also the site of the place that Jesus Christ wants to turn upside down with the gospel. And get this. He wants to use you to do it. If you'll put up with a little bit of Mississippi humor here, I think maybe you'll understand something. Then we'll really dig into the text. I think this will make a great point, so I pray that it touches your heart. I want you to do me a favor. Will you look to the person on your left? Look to the person on your left. All right, your other left. Now look to the person on your right. Just so you don't miss it, let's do this again. Look to the person on your left. Look to the person on your right. Now look up here at me. Statistics show that one out of every three people are ugly. If the person on your left is beautiful, and the person on your right is beautiful, you are the ugly person. All joking aside, why did I have you do this? Well, to have a little lighthearted fun with you, but also to demonstrate the point that when you look to the person on your left and on your right, you are looking at the ones Jesus wants to use to impact Tillamook with the gospel of Christ. And not only do you have to look to the left or right, you got to look down at yourself. He wants to use you to make His name great amongst the nations. And by the way, isn't it a great name? The first thing I want you to realize out of this passage is that the Lord sends us. The Lord sends us. He appears to Paul, and He's standing there beside Paul. Now, you remember the last time Paul saw Jesus? It was on the road to Damascus. And he just saw this great light, and he heard this voice. He really didn't even see exactly who it was or what was standing there, but he heard Jesus talking to him. It's interesting that Paul had been praying all of his life, but now he's talking to Jesus. Here he is now in Acts chapter 23 in prison, and the Lord standing beside him. Can I tell you that the Lord doesn't always put us in the easiest places? And then he tells him, as you have testified of me here in Jerusalem, you must also go to Rome. He sends us. Think about who it was that he was sending. This was the guy that all the way back in Acts chapter 7, as Stephen, the Lord's great witness, was being stoned and put to death, they were laying the cloaks there at the feet of a young man named Saul. It was the man who God knew that one day in times past had persecuted his saints and put many of them to death. And now God has radically transformed this man named Paul, and He's sending him to Rome to be a witness. Can I tell you something? Failure is an event and not a person. And though you may have failed, you are not a failure, and the Lord wants to use you. If you'll just let Him. He sends us. There's somewhere around 7.3 billion people on the face of the planet right now. And He has chosen you. He has saved you. And He wants to use you right here where He's planted you. If you'll just let Him. I was reminded of how the Lord wants to use us. And I was reminded about the places that He'll send us. I was keenly aware of how the Lord goes to the ones and goes to the places that nowhere else and no one else would go to. God goes to those who are the down and outers. And He goes to the places that really aren't that popular. He saves people in your house, and He saves people in a jailhouse. And he goes anywhere, and he'll send us anywhere, even to Rome. And I remember when I learned that lesson the most vividly. In 2006, I had the opportunity to go to Yemen and do some undercover missionary work. And we traveled around the country of Yemen to about three different cities. And we were with a missionary. We went out into the countryside with a Land Rover, went four-wheel driving up a dried-out riverbed. And we got to this community way out in the middle of what we would call Mississippi nowhere. And we walk up to the main house. And these houses are built out of stone that are just stacked up. Looks like something from the 1300s. I mean, it was just primitive. And when we pulled up to this one house, in the upstairs portion, there was these iron bars like a jail. And this guy looking out of the bars. We later found out that that guy's name was Jabber, and he had been locked up in that room for 22 years because he would often become violent, and he would beat people and do things very harsh to people, and he was in the house of his sister. Well, we're there to pray for him. And we walk up this spiral-shaped staircase that literally had torches hanging off the side of it. We get there, and there's an iron door. And they have to unlock the iron door, and we walk in there. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you the straight of it. We walk in there, and this guy named Jabber was unclothed. There were no pieces of furniture in his room. The floor, they had taken ashes and water, mixed it together, made like a cement paste, and that was the walls and the floor. And the roof was a hay-thatched roof or grass of some kind. And there Jabber is with refuse all over him, stunk to high heaven, way out in the middle of nowhere in the country of Yemen, which hates Christianity. And he's peering through these bars, and he's behind this locked door. And we start to worship and sing praises in the Yemeni language. I just listened in American. I couldn't speak any of that. But after about 5 minutes of worshiping, the Lord spoke in that still small voice. And Brother Brad, he said, "I'm here." And I started looking around. And I just remember being overwhelmed that in a place like this, the presence of the King, my Lord would go. Or better yet, for our case, the Lord would send us to those places that are hard, where the people are chained and hurting and lost in sin, and He wants to send you and I to impact them with the gospel. The Lord Jesus wants to send you right here, even in Tillamook. Will you let Him? The second thing I want you to realize is not only does the Lord send us, the mission is tough. The mission is tough. I put a little graphic. Well, I had them put a little graphic on your computer back here. I want to show you a picture. And the words of Jake from the Bush family, Baked Beans, roll that beautiful bean footage. Thank you for letting me jump ahead to the slide. If we were planning out things, the top graphic is what it would be like for us. There's the flag that would be our Rome. Here we are on a bicycle, gently pedaling uphill. But that's not how the Lord does things, always. As a matter of fact, if you look at the bottom of the slide, you'll see what God's plan is like oftentimes. It goes over pits and through rocks, over bridges, across water, and all of a sudden through rainstorms, and it's constant up and down right and left kind of experience and turn and twist. And that's the way it is when you are serving the Lord Jesus. It's not always easy. Ask Job. Ask Joseph. From the time Joseph had his dreams at 17 to the time he was ultimately with his brothers bowing at his feet was 25 years. And all sorts of twists and turns during that time frame. Look with me, if you will, at the book of Acts, chapter 27. Verses 4 through 8. Listen to what Paul endured. When we had put to sea from there, so here they are sailing, headed towards Rome, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. You might want to underline that. The winds were against them. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia, and the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and arrived with difficulty, you might want to underline that, off of Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off of Salome, passing it with difficulty. How many times have we heard difficulty, winds against us? In these four verses, at least three times in four verses, this was mentioned. And we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lesse. Sometimes the thing the Lord calls us to do is hard. And I imagine the Tillamook is much like Loosedale in that there are many obstacles. Many hindrances. I don't know about y'all, but one of the things that we have in Loosedale or Leakesville is Little League sports. I mean, I love Little League sports, but down there it's kind of become a god. And we kind of deal with the Bible Belt thing. If you were to leave Shady Grove Baptist Church and drive 10 miles down the road, you knock every door between there, the church, and that 10-mile mark, you wouldn't find a person that would acknowledge that they are lost and going to hell. Because everybody has been inoculated with the gospel. We have churches on every corner, and everybody has a little bit of religion, but they've not been made righteous. And we have those kind of encumbrances. Mississippi was recently voted the most religious state in the nation. And 7 out of 10 people in Mississippi are unchurched. What a shocker. And everybody thinks, a lot of people think that they're saved, but they don't have any idea about the sovereignty of God and yielding to. We have troubles there in Mississippi. It's a very hard place to serve. And I don't know all of the encumbrances and hindrances to sharing the gospel here in Tillamook, but I can tell you this, you've got them. But can I tell you, the Lord Jesus wants to do a mighty work right here. And He's sending you to do it. The Lord sends us. The mission is hard. We all have our Rome, the place that we want to get to. And the journey from where we are to Rome is hard and arduous and tough. Can I tell you the third thing I really want to share with you? Don't wait till you get to Rome to start serving. As a matter of fact, all throughout these 5 chapters, when Paul is being led as a prisoner, he's ministering to people along the way. And at one specific spot in the text, they have a shipwreck. But just before the shipwreck, matter of fact, the Bible says they perceived that all hope was lost. They knew they were going to die. And Paul said, you're not going to die. Take this food. And he broke the bread and gave it to them. Can I tell you? He wasn't waiting until he got to Rome to serve the Lord Jesus. He wasn't waiting till everything was perfect. And then he was going to really shine for God. He did it all along the way. And I can tell you that there's, number one, personal hindrances to serving the Lord. I've heard it in my years of ministry. Boy, if I just had a little more time, if I can retire one day, I'm really going to serve Jesus then. Maybe if I made a little more, I could give more money to the church. One day things are going to change for me, and boy, then am I really going to be able to do something for Jesus. But there's not only private or hindrances, there's public hindrances. I've heard it said in churches, boy, if we just had a few more people, boy, we could really do some great ministry. Boy, if we just had a different type of song service. If we just had more children and children's workers. If we had more money and could build this new building. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till you get to Rome to serve Jesus. Serve Him now. I was in First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, for a pastor's conference. And their church covers about 8 city blocks. There's children's building covers 1 city block and it's 3 stories high. Me and one of my senior adults went up to the top of the 3rd floor, and there's this huge mouth of a fish in the wall, and you walk in and sit down just like the fish that swallowed Jonah, and it's a slide that goes all the way to the 1st floor. You get on the elevator and ride back up and do it again. We did it 5 times. There's these wax figures of Moses on top of the mountain with the 10 commandments. Man, it's just awesome. And they had 1,000 voices in all 5 of their choirs. They had 100-piece orchestra, 10,000 seats in the sanctuary. And I remember walking through that place like Gomer Pyle. Golly! And I really said, man, I want a choir like that. Man, I want a children's building like that. Man, I want a sanctuary like that. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, well, you ain't got it. He loves good old Mississippi English. Ain't got it. And He said, you do the best you can with what I have given you. And He sent me back to my church that on a best day, on the best day we ever had was 117 in attendance. And He said, you do the best you can with what I've given you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to keep you long here, but I think this makes a wonderful point. A few months later, I was doing a church plant down in Nicaragua. This little Nicaraguan church was wanting to start another church 10 miles down the road. So we show up and we're having our first initial service in the mother church. And it was just a concrete block building that was a little bit smaller than this sanctuary. It had one piece of Romex wire going down the center with a light bulb hanging over a makeshift pulpit. And about 3 teenagers up there playing instruments. And the guitar only had 4 strings on it. And we're sitting in these white plastic lawn chairs from Walmart. And there's about 30 Nicaraguans in there, and they're just celebrating the Lord. And I couldn't understand a thing they said, but I understood everything they meant. Brother Dillon, all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me again, that still small voice. And He says, so, do you think there's any less of my spirit here than there is in First Jacksonville? I learned it's not about the facilities, it's about the presence of Jesus. Don't wait till you get to Rome, to the spot where you think that everything is perfect, and then decide you're really going to shine for Jesus. You do it now. Last thing I want to share with you is you'll get there. You'll get there. Turn to Acts chapter 28, verse 16. Now when we came, here it is, to Rome. Did you catch that? In spite of all of the troubles and the hardship, and some time had lapsed because of the whole wintering and the shipwreck thing. It had taken a long time. But in verse 16 of 28, now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Ladies and gentlemen, it was hard. It was tough. It took a while, but Paul got to Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll get there. You'll purchase that property. When the Lord is ready, you'll purchase that property. You'll turn it into a great ministry site, and you'll use it in a marvelous way for the kingdom of God. And not only that objective, but whatever other objective the Lord leads you to do, you'll get there. You'll get there. Just keep faithfully serving our Lord. When you finally get there, there's three things you're going to realize. Number one, you're in Rome. You made it. Shady Grove saved money for 20 years to build a sanctuary. We run on a good day. I mean, good day, everybody's there, nobody's gone, nobody's sick. Good day. 300 in attendance. Average around 250 or so. And for 20 years, they had been saving money to build a new sanctuary. We did two services on Sunday morning for 7 years because we couldn't hold everybody in one. On Sunday mornings for 7 years, I preached at 8:30, taught a Sunday school class, preached at 11, taught discipleship training at 5, and preached at 6 every Sunday that rolled around. Ultimately, we built our new sanctuary that holds 500 people. It cost $1,530,000. When we moved in, we owed $87,000. And 10 months later, we paid it off. But we got there. And so will you. And when you get there, three things you'll realize. Number one, you're in Rome. Number two, the winds were against you. We talked about sailing behind this island, behind that island, because the winds were so contrary. Three times in those four verses, how tough it was. You'll realize that the winds were against you all the time. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't stay in the wind. Sometimes you've got to withdraw for a day or two and just have some times of refreshing and prayer. And then get back in the battle. Number three, not only will you realize that you're there, not only will you realize that the winds were against you, number three, you'll realize that you didn't get there in a straight line. They were tacking back and forth, left to right, from island to island. They were sailing against wind. Do you know how to sail against the wind? I mean, the Columbia River Gorge is the best place in the world for windsurfing, wind sailing. To sail against the wind, you've got to go right and then left, right and then left, and constantly tacking back and forth to sail against the wind. And that's how Paul and those guys got to Rome. You're going to realize that once you get there, wherever your there is, that you didn't get there in a straight line. Some twists and some turns, but ultimately you made it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to right now thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for where you're leading these brothers and sisters in Christ. Use them. Father, guide them, protect them, and may your Holy Spirit grant them the victory, and may they get to the Rome that you're leading them to. Thank you. I want to share with you what this is really all about. When I say this, I mean kingdom work. Why did we come all the way from Leakesville, Mississippi, to here? Why are we doing all of this in our churches? It is because Jesus died that sinners could be saved. Jesus went through all of this, the scriptures and dying on the cross, all of this that lost people could come to repentance and find salvation through Jesus on the cross. Here's the best way I know to describe it. We have a great respect for our military and the heroes that give their life, dying for our freedom. And I read of a story of a guy that was extremely rich, had a lot of money. His wife had passed away, and they only had one son. The son grew up and wanted to go into the armed services. So he goes off into basic training. All of a sudden, he's going to be deployed. And his dad, having all of this land and all of this money and all of this stuff, the thing he wanted the most was a painting of his son in his dress uniform before he went overseas to battle. So he hired this artist. The artist painted this portrait. The son goes overseas. And within a few months, his son had died in battle. The man lived out the rest of his life as a widower and no children. Ultimately, he passed away, and they were going to auction off all of his estate. And the day came for the auction to begin. They started the auction, and all of a sudden the auctioneer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start today's bidding off with this painting." And one of the guys said, "I want that painting for $5 so we can get it out of the way and get to the lands and the cars and the houses." And the auctioneer says, "You don't understand. This painting is of the man's only son. And he died in battle. And this is the man's prized possession." The guy says, "All right, I'll take that painting for $10. Let's get it out of the way." The auctioneer says, "Okay, going once, going twice, sold to the man in the black shirt for $10. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's bidding. Everyone starts gasping and questioning, and all of a sudden someone with great confusion said, "Well, what about the houses and the lands and the cars and all of the other stuff?" And the auctioneer said, "Well, it was in the old man's will that whoever takes the son gets it all." And that's what we're here for, is to introduce people that are lost to the Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me. With every head bowed,